Turn with me again this morning to Titus chapter 2. Again, beginning in verse 1, let's hear the word of God. As for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as we are once again privileged to open your word. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. I thank you for it. Amen. You know, there's a common stereotype about little boys, that they're curious about how things work. Once there was a little guy who was incredibly curious about how an alarm clock worked. So he went about the business of taking it apart. And as he was working, all of a sudden there were wheels and gears and springs that were just scattered everywhere. Well, he finally got everything apart, and it was time to put it back together again. And when he went to put the things back together again, he found out he had enough parts there for two clocks. Every part of that clock was necessary to make it work properly, so that it was orderly in how it functioned. Paul gave Titus instructions to put together an orderly church. And we saw that he started with the leadership and instructed how he should appoint certain men as elders in the church. Then he moved on to the membership, because leaders without members don't amount to much. Something would be missing. What characteristics should be evident in a healthy church? Paul exhorted Titus to teach sound doctrine. And then he focused on the pillars of the local church, the older men. And he said, this is what older men should look like. That they should be men who are self-controlled in every area of their lives. That they should be sound in their thinking and in their speech. They should be sound in the faith, which means they should know the faith. They should be engrafted into the faith. That they should be sound in love, that their love be holy and genuine for each other and for God. And that they be sound in patience, that they have a cheerful endurance as they go through the things of life. It's a sad thing, but through the years, men have abandoned their roles. They would succumb to the temptations of the evil one and give in to their own flesh. Men, we would see abandoning the church and the role that God gave them. Often, quite often, the places that they vacated began to be filled up by the women of the church. Women who had good hearts and good intentions, but were filling improper places so that the clock would not function as properly as it ought. There was not the proper order. It's happened before. If we look back into the Old Testament book of Judges, in the fourth chapter of Judges, we see that Deborah was named a judge in Israel. And Deborah had an opportunity to go to war, if you would, with Sisera and his little band. And Deborah called a fellow by the name of Barak, who it might be interpreted Barak, whichever you prefer. Barak was a wuss. Deborah said, Barak, you need to lead some men and take out Sisera and his army. You need to destroy those fellows. They're evil. They're wicked. And we need to have them put away. And Barak says, the only way I'm going is if you go too. That's a very masculine point of view, isn't it, guys? You say, all right, well, the only way we're going to war is we put the woman in front. We let her lead us. If she gets shot, then we run. That was his point of view. That was his perspective. What a wuss. He's not even the kind of guy you want to go have a cup of coffee with. You know, it's like, oh man, go play with your Legos. You know, get your G.I. Joe doll out and, you know, play around. Because you're obviously not fit for the real battles of life. And then when they got into the battle, it wasn't even a man who took Sisera down. It was a woman. A woman taking the place of a man. I mean, it just providentially happened this way. It worked out well because she was able to entice Sisera into her tent and lull him to sleep and cured his headaches forever. Go to Judges chapter 4 if you care to read the account. It'll be some very nice reading for you some afternoon or evening before you go to bed. But God used these women at a time when men refused to be men. It's clear that women are certainly a part of the church. And women have a very important role to play in the church. And so just as he'd done with the older men, Paul gives Titus some qualities that older women should develop. Now, remember, he has just gone through a litany of things to apply to the older men. And then he says, the older women likewise. So he's looking for these qualities, the qualities that were found in the older men. He wants to find those same qualities in the older women. But he expands it a little bit. He stretches it out just some. He says first that the older women, the older woman is to be reverent in behavior. That is, in every aspect of her life, the lady should carry herself with some dignity. That she holds herself as a person who has been set apart to God. As though she is living and working and dwelling within the temple of Almighty God. How do you carry yourself? That behavior is evidenced in the way that she thinks and the way that she speaks. What kind of language does she use? You know, we live in a world today where women have been screaming for equal rights for 50 years. And I think they've attained it. I've heard language come out of women that would make sailors blush. And it's no big deal. They just go on. They do what they want to do. Man, it's like, that's real feminine. That's not what we want to hear from our ladies. Titus says that a lady should be having some dignity about her. That her behavior is reverent. Like the older men, that means grave, and it doesn't mean that you walk around sourpussed. Doesn't mean that you walk around with your chin dragged. You can even have a sense of humor. But you have dignity about yourself because of who you are in Christ. What importance as an older lady, as an older woman, what importance do you place on the things of God? And just as men have been inclined to just throw things to the wind, when it comes down to a matter of personal choice between what I want to do and what God wants me to do, who wins? We say, well, God will understand. I hope you don't hold that attitude and intend to take it before the judgment seat. Because, you know, when God tells us to do something, he doesn't understand when we do the opposite. He doesn't get that. So how important are the things of God to us? The older women are to be reverent in behavior. That includes all of your life. Not only your thinking and your speaking, but how you have yourself appear in public. Do you express yourself modestly in the way that you dress? Or do you appear like a flighty floozy? There are churches, there are places that call themselves churches that, you know, they really don't care how you dress to come into the doors. They're happy to get you in the doors. And halter tops and short shorts are perfectly acceptable in a worship service. I don't know how you do that. I really don't know how you do that. I remember hearing the stories of missionaries. And one guy in particular, he was in Africa. And the women attended service as they dressed in normal society, which was not at all. He says, how do you deal with that? He says, the way you deal with it is you give them the gospel. You teach them the truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit convicts them. And next thing you know, they're wearing something when they come to service. Is it possible to dress fashionably and modestly at the same time? You better believe it. You don't have to dress in an old gunny sack to be modestly attired. Let me tell you, I've had the privilege, if you want to call it that, of being acquainted with the Amish for many, many years. And I happen to know that just because the ladies are attired in their Amish garb doesn't make them modest. Modesty comes from the inside. It will eventually reflect itself outside. But it starts from the inside. So if you want to wear something fashionable, that's well and good. Listen, I think my wife is a modest lady in the way she presents herself. And I think she is very attractive, whether she's wearing this fine-looking dress she's wearing this morning, or whether she's wearing a t-shirt and jeans and she's out digging in the side of the flower garden, you know? Sweat pouring down her face. Still looks good. Seems modest. Somebody's got to do it. It's a hard job. See, Liz, when you get done with that, would you get me another beer? Look, women or men, it doesn't matter. People will behave outwardly what they think in their hearts. The outside always reflects what's on the inside. You're unsure about what you're thinking, Paul was kind enough to give us a checklist. Philippians 4:8. Everybody knows it. Nobody can recite it. But everybody knows it. He says to govern the way you think. Ask yourself, is what you're thinking true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it virtuous? Is it good in the way that you're thinking? And in 1 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, he said, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're eating or drinking or walking down the street or going to the mall or whatever it is you're doing, sitting in a restaurant or sitting at home, having some quiet time. Whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. When you're picking out what it is you're going to serve for lunch, do that to the glory of God. When you're at the mall looking for something new to wear, do that to the glory of God. When you're sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire, change it to the glory of God. Say, I don't know how that fits. Think about it. This all is involved in the reverent behavior that Paul is looking for in the older women. And then he says, older women are not to be slanderers, false accusers of their brothers and sisters particularly. You remember me being in Sunday school? There's good songs that they teach you in Sunday school. Not necessarily really deep songs, but they're good songs. Like, oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. You know, you ever heard that one? You never heard that before? I could tell. The Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little tongue, what you say. Women have long been stereotyped as gossipers. People who get a little bit of news and gotta share it. And just because they're not content with the way the news was when they got it, they figure they just add a little, juice it up just a bit. Well, you know, women aren't the only people to do that. Men do that too. But women must do it more because Paul said. He said, don't be going around talking about people. This applies to you guys. Remember, gentlemen, we are to be self-controlled. That involves our tongues and what we say. He says, ladies, don't be going about yakking. Don't say things that aren't true about other people. Don't try and smear someone's reputation. Because a reputation is easily tarnished. But rarely can its purity be restored. If we are at odds with someone, and that's a lot of the times when people talk. If we're at odds with someone, we're supposed to go and reconcile with them, or at least try. We're not supposed to talk about it to the whole world. We never once saw Jesus doing that. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. And when we exercise a slanderous tongue, we do the devil's work. That's not a very good testimony to have when we go to our Father. That's a sin that needs to be confessed. You see, Lord, I've been out doing the devil's work today. And I know you won't stand that. You won't tolerate that. So I ask your forgiveness. Ladies are not to be given to much wine, not to be addicted to the immoderate use of alcohol. And she is to be a teacher of good things. She's to be a teacher of right. She teaches not only with her words, but with her actions, by how she lives. She teaches things that edify, things that are good. Now, this is an interesting part of this passage. Because to whom is she to teach these things? To the younger women. She's to teach them to the younger women. Now, Paul has instructed Titus to teach. To teach the older men. To teach the older women. And the younger men. But here, he wants the older women to teach the younger. Ladies, you've been given this assignment. You've been given a responsibility. If you're going to be a teacher of good things, if you're going to be a teacher of right, you have to know what it is to teach. And you teach those things by your words and by your example. There's a consistency in the way that you live. That's how Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us by word and by example. We're told that he went about doing good. And we see the good that he did. Sometimes in his doing good, people got their feathers ruffled. But Jesus did never not do good. He never did not speak what was right. And so we learn from that. The scriptures tell us everything that we need to know about Christ. And he told us through the scriptures everything that we need to know to live right. To do right. The scriptures teach us how to think and how to speak and how to love. And so all of us, not the women only, but all of us need to grasp that. We need to dive in to the Holy Scriptures and obtain, draw out those things that we in turn are to teach other people. Now Paul goes into some specifics as to what the good things are that the older ladies are to teach the younger. And we'll get into that next week. For now, let's pray.